You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast with host Fifi Peters.
We begin our markets feature today with a holistic view of markets and what they have been doing and what they're likely to do. In fact, we are going to reflect on the past decade, on the JSE, as well as what has happened in global markets. But more importantly, we're going to look at what the next 10 years could look like and where the money could be made the next decade on. We're joined by Sean Neathling. He's the head of investments for South Africa over at Morningstar. Sean, thanks so much for your time. I suppose let's begin the conversation by looking at the next decade as you see it and how it compares to what we have seen markets do in the past 10 years.
Yeah, Fifi, so that's a great question. I think if you look at the market structure today, especially in global markets, you know, performance has really been propped up by this very narrow grouping of companies. I suppose that has colloquially been come to or referred to as the Magnificent Seven. And these companies have really delivered exceptional returns, I suppose, over the last year. What investors need to be mindful of, though, is that, you know, if you look across a global opportunity set, there are other pockets, you know, of the universe that can potentially add value as well. And those are the parts that really pique our interest. So, you know, if we look across the world today, we think that the US, because it's this narrow market, is relatively, you know, expensive. So we have underweight positions to the US. But when we look across emerging markets, for example, China's a standout and a big part of the emerging market complex. And then also if you look at regions like Brazil and Korea. So those are two areas and regions which have piqued our interest. And then also if you look at European equities and equities in the UK as well. So somewhat more defensive than what you're finding in the US. So again, if we look across this global opportunity set, you know, all bets don't need to be hedged, you know, specifically to growth assets and tech assets in particular. We actually think that, you know, those are priced, again, on the expensive side of fair value and priced to deliver, you know, relatively poor results in aggregate, while we think, you know, parts of the emerging market complex, those countries that I mentioned, and also parts of Europe and the UK today are priced to deliver much better returns on a 10-year view versus where the US is priced today.
Okay, so let's unpack just based on some of those regions that you have highlighted, starting with China. At the start of the year, there was so much expectation as to what the emergence of China from the lockdown would bring for stocks, for the global economy as well. That expectation has not been lived up to. In fact, it's been a lot of disappointment on the parts of China, just looking at what has been going on there. Not to mention the fact that the property sector in China has also seemed to be a hot and bothered spot right now. So where and exactly what in China do you reckon could offer value for investors in the next 10 years?
Yeah, Fifi, that's a great question. I think, you know, you go back to the start of the year, I think, you know, the opening trade didn't quite play out as investors had thought. If you look at Chinese spend, particularly on things like infrastructure, there hasn't really been a great commitment there on that side. And that's obviously played out in emerging markets like South Africa, for example, which is resource-led and very dependent on that infrastructure spend. And then, like you mentioned, I think more recently, you know, the fallout in the property sector, which is not really new news. I mean, the news about Evergrande sort of broke more than a year ago, but that is starting to play out, I suppose, in U.S. markets now, especially with foreign currency debt. But if you put the picture together for China, what that means is that the market is currently priced with a great amount of pessimism. And I think what happens then in that type of environment is that asset prices get sold down to levels which probably the fundamentals don't deserve. And I think that's where we as investors at Morningstar get particularly interested. And again, China, what you're buying is a very big part of the tech complex. And again, just to contrast the experience of US tech versus China tech, very different experiences in terms of, you know, how they've been sold off and how they've, delivered returns for investors over the last year. So we do think that there are challenges within China. We do think that it's a less understandable, I suppose, region or geography. But I think the way that we would think about that, again, at Morningstar is by appropriately sizing those positions. So again, those tech companies, whether it's Alibaba or Tencent, you know, I do think those are, again, well-established businesses. Investors need to decide what the right price is. But a lot of the work that we're doing suggests that they are priced on the cheaper side of fair value. But again, very mindful just because of, you know, the different outcomes that could potentially take place in the short term. very mindful and cautious in terms of how we size that in client portfolios.
Because one of the gray areas of investing in Chinese tech is the fact that the regulation that governs it can change so easily and readily, literally at a snap of a finger. And okay, maybe I'm exaggerating a bit, but I'd just like to understand how you're thinking about thinking through some of the risks to policy uncertainty, particularly around Chinese tech.
Yeah, so I think, you know, that became fairly prominent, I think, in terms of the VIR structure that is being run, which it makes it very difficult to actually allocate to Chinese assets, and you effectively just get a portion of the cash flow. So the structure is not, you know, necessarily ideal for foreign investors. I do think, you know, what you're likely to find in an environment like this is almost a repeat of the sort of tech wars that we saw starting to play out with the Trump administration a few years back. You can see some Chinese regulation that has suggested it's going to be somewhat less unfavorable for manufacturers like Apple to do business or potentially do business in China. So I do think what you'll find in this environment is regulation and governments that back their sort of national champions. So I think, you know, at the let's call it the aggregate level, I think what you're likely to see for the most part is the Chinese government mostly support these Chinese companies because you've really got this, I suppose, extension of a sort of trade war which is playing out with U.S. tech companies.
Okay, let's shoot over to Europe and where in Europe is looking good right now and what in Europe is looking good, because we look at a lot of the economic data around the largest economy over there, Germany, and things are not looking quite rosy. But I imagine if you're talking about a 10-year view, you are seeing Germany emerge from a tight spot right now quite firmly.
Yeah, so I think if we just, you know, look at it from a top-down perspective, you know, which is not typically the way we approach it at Morningstar. We are typically bottom-up fundamental in terms of how we look at it. But I think it's difficult to sort of look at asset prices without being mindful or cognizant of the macro picture at this stage. So if you look at the US, you know, we do think that the inflation outlook there and the trajectory of interest rates is somewhat more understandable than what we're seeing in Europe and the UK at this point in time. There are very specific challenges there. So that direction of travel is not especially clear. What I do think, you know, we've been focusing on, though, is to answer your question on companies. I think what piques our interest at this point in time is really building a bit of robustness or defensiveness into portfolios. And I think if you look across the UK, you know, what you are buying, even at an index level, is a fair amount of consumer staples and healthcare. You know, so positions like Unilever, British American Tobacco, Diageo, these are really well-established companies that have been, you know, penalized in an environment where growth assets have done particularly well. You're also able to buy, you know, some of the major oil producers there. So in the energy complex, you've got companies like BP and Shell. Again, if you go back 3 years, I mean, these companies have delivered really good returns. And what you've seen is, you know, in a way tech has basically run, these are not the assets that tend to do very well. But again, if you look at balance sheets and you look at capital discipline across time or over time, these companies are really well, I suppose, well established and well positioned. So those are really the parts of the market in the UK that pique our interest. And in Germany as well, you're also finding, you know, very big industrials and utilities complex. So those are the parts of the region where we think, you know, valuations are on the cheap side of what we think is fair, but the additional, I suppose, benefit that it brings to portfolios is that element of robustness. And what I mean by that is it doesn't typically give you the same payoff profile as some of the, I suppose, the growth assets would in a portfolio.
Okay, let's bring it back home. So the JSE currently trading at around the 74,000 point mark. That's the JSE All Share Index. Next 10 years, where can the money be made on the local market?
So we're actually, you know, pretty excited about SA equities, or better way to actually state it is cautiously optimistic about SA equities. Now, if we look across the major sectors, if we look at financials, we look at resources and industrials, we think that the banks are particularly well priced. South Africa has some of the best run and best managed banks in the world. You know, balance sheets are particularly well capitalized and there's been really good discipline by management. If we look at resources, I think, you know, it's somewhat incomplete to speak about it as a basket. We do think that the investment thesis for iron ore is somewhat more stretched, for example, than the thesis for PGMs or platinum. And then, like I sort of mentioned, I think a large part of that thesis is tied to China. So we are particularly mindful that without infrastructure spend in China, it's going to be very difficult for for companies that are particularly exposed to iron ore to do particularly well. Platinum mines, we actually think it's a supply side thesis for us. South Africa is a major producer, controls close to 75, almost 80% of global production. And we do think there that over a 10-year view, there is a net positive effect for those companies. And then I think, industrials is a very big basket. But I think what you are seeing, for example, if you look at small and mid-cap companies in particular, these companies have been badly beaten up because they've been tied, along with the SA economy. And unfortunately, the South African economy is not a good proxy, for the economics of listed businesses on the JSE. So when you actually look through to earnings and revenue, more than 70 or 69% of revenue is pretty much earned offshore by listed companies. So these are actually very resilient businesses. We are concerned about the narrowing of market breadth, which is something that we pay particular attention to. But on average, we expect South African equities to deliver between 5.5% and 6% in real terms over the next 10 years. So like I mentioned, cautiously optimistic, just paying attention to the overall risks.
I think many of us would hope that the economy would grow at that level in real terms over the next 10 years. But fingers crossed, so we'll have to see what that looks like on the other side. But Sean, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks so much for joining us, giving us a sense of how your crystal ball is looking like as you look at markets 10 years on. Sean Nietling, he's the head of investments for South Africa over at Morningstar.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.